1922, a crack Aberdonian was appointed Director General of a new British broadcasting institution. This man promptly sat down and defined three principles in accordance with which a public service broadcaster should operate. Today, still listened to by millions, they survive quite nicely indeed, thank you. If you want a podcast, if you've already exhausted what they have to offer, and if you can find it, maybe you should listen to Inform, Educate, and Entertain.
Hello, welcome to Inform, Educate, and Entertain. My name is Sam Wilkinson, and I'm talking fast in this bit because that's what they do on Radio 4. Every week on this show, three comedians will be taking part in a series of silly challenges to beat John Reith at his own game and win the most desired prize in media, the role of Director General of a public service broadcasting company that I just made up. There's a thin veneer of it being a job interview, but don't worry about that. It's basically a Radio 4-style panel show with less budget and more swears. This week I'm joined by the self-described poor man's Joe Brand, a man who looks like Henry VIII and doesn't need people to keep pointing it out, and a woman who likes cats, experimenting with baked goods, and not going for long walks along beaches. They are Kerry Robinson, Jack Vincent, and Emma Crossland. Inform, Educate, and Entertain is the name of the game, and it's how they'll win. Every time I feel informed, educated, or entertained, I'll ring this bell. Ding! By which I mean I'll later edit in this sound effect of a bell. Ding! Before we plough on into round one, there's a chance to get to know our contestants by letting each of them enter one person into our dead studio audience, a much cheaper and safer affair than the traditional live audience. Let's start with Kerry. Kerry, who have you brought along, please?
I've brought in Victoria Wood, just because she's bloody brilliant and very much missed, and she's who I really wanted to be, but I ended up being Joe Brand, so, you know.
I do feel a little bit intimidated now, sitting here judging you all with Victoria Wood sitting over your shoulder.
Victoria Wood just sat.
Yeah,
just
telling me how to be much, much funnier, but I can't hear her because she's dead.
And
God, that bit's not going in. That's awful. Emma, who are you bringing along?
Well, I gave it some thought, and I was going to go like down the sort of comedy celebrity route, but to be honest with you, I could do without that kind of judgment. So instead, I'm going to bring my granddad, who would be on my side regardless.
Oh, Emma's granddad. Welcome to the show, Emma's granddad. What's your granddad's name?
His name's Alan.
Alan.
That's my dad's name.
He's not my granddad, is he? Is this a...
He's definitely alive. He's my dad. I just spoke to him earlier, so something's happened in the last 10 minutes. Jesus. What way to find out on a podcast?
This isn't how they do it on Radio 4.
It's not, is it?
Jack, I can see you've got a mouthful of cheese, so I'm going to ask the question right now. Who's your dead audience member, please?
Right, I'm a little bit annoyed because, right, I was going to pick my granddad, but now I'm copying. So I can't do that.
Do you want Emma's granddad as well?
I mean, I don't think he can go into two, and we need to, you know, it's like a normal comedy gig. We need to put bums on seats, right? We need as many people as possible.
Is this technically a bringer, then?
I think it is.
And I thought, okay, I'll go a little bit different, and I'll go something like Henry VIII, because obviously that's what everyone's expecting. But because that's what everyone's expecting, I'm going to say no. So I'm going to pick one of Henry VIII's wives to be original. And I'm going to bring the gender balance back up. We'll go with one of his wives. We'll go with my favourite one of his wives, Ms. Anne of Cleves.
Anne of Cleves. Ooh. Anne of Cleves, probably the hipster Henry VIII's wife.
Exactly. She's definitely the millennial.
Welcome to the show, Anne of Cleves. Was Anne of Cleves a divorced or a died?
Divorced.
She was a divorced.
Technically, if you want to get legal, I think there was a bit of an annulment. No, she was definitely divorced. She was the one where he agreed to marry her without ever seeing her. She arrived and she was dog ugly. So then he was like...
Since the theme of this episode is famous firsts, it's only right that we kick off with the first round.
Thank you.
Inform, educate, and entertain.
It's the job of public service broadcasters to open up worlds we thought we already knew about and tell us the secrets of the mundane. That's why, in round one, I've given my three candidates a seemingly simple question to answer, giving them all the room they like to blow me away with their research, insight, and way with words. There's a stack of points on offer, so let's go straight into it. The question this week, what links the first day of the year with the month of January? Emma, you first.
The first day of the year is traditionally spent nursing a hangover after a big party the previous night. Hangover Girl is an album track by indie rock band Gomez. Gomez Adams from the Adams family has a daughter named Wednesday. Wednesday is the third day of the week if you count Monday as the starting point, which you probably do if you live in Europe or adhere to the International Organization for Standardization. The International Organization for Standardization was founded on the 23rd of February 1947. On the 23rd of February 1971, former glamour model, Page Three Girl and TV presenter Melinda Messenger was born in Swindon, Wiltshire. In Swindon, there is a complicated road layout comprising of five mini roundabouts arranged in a circle. A roundabout of roundabouts, if you like. It's called the Magic Roundabout. The Magic Roundabout was a children's programme created using stop-motion animation featuring the characters Dougal, Zebedee, Brian, Ermintrude and Dylan. Bob Dylan has a nasal whiny voice and no one can persuade me that it's worth listening to. He also wrote the song Mr. Tambourine Man. According to the Google search that I did last night, Davy Jones from the Monkees was considered one of the world's greatest tambourine players. Davy Jones' locker is a metaphor for the bottom of the sea, often referred to when speaking of drowned sailors and shipwrecks. The most famous shipwreck has to be the Titanic, which went down on the 14th of April, 1912. In leap years, the months of April and July always start on the same day, as does January.
I'm sick!
Emma Crossland, thank you very much. A solid play to open round one. Who knows where the points are going, but some of them will definitely go to that quite informative, very educational, wonderfully entertaining speech. I'm cutting that bit out. That was just pure sucking up. Our second player, Jack Vincent, is now taking the stage. So quiet, please, for Mr. Jack Vincent.
The first day of the year is most commonly known as New Year's Day. As such, New Year's Day is the first day of the Gregorian and Julian calendar. King Julian XIII is a character who appears in all three of the theatrically released Madagascar films and is played by Sacha Baron Cohen. Why are you laughing?
Because it's funny.
It's funny. Good.
Dickhead. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'll edit it so you sound like a genius.
King Julian XIII is a character who appears in all three theatrically released Madagascar films and is played by Sacha Baron Cohen. King Julian is also presented as a ringtail lemur. Ringtail lemurs have been endangered since 2017 and is on the IUCN Red List, or the International Union for Conservation of Nature. And this holds the most comprehensive inventory of the global conservation status of biological species on the planet. It was founded in 1964. 1964 saw the debut of many beloved British television shows such as Stingray, Mr. and Mrs. and Crossroads. These all first aired in 1964, but the one that probably had the biggest impact was Top of the Pops. Top of the Pops was the MTV for the BBC and has had many different hosts during its decade run. Many big names like Tony Blackburn, Noel Edwards. Oh, I put Edwards, it's Edmonds. That's wrong. Noel Edmonds.
Keeping that in.
Noel Edmonds and Jimmy Savile, although the less said about him, the better. Most recently, the host has been Fern Cotton. Fern Cotton is a British television presenter with many TV credits under her belt. She's also got a vast wealth of famous associates. She is best friends with Holly Willoughby, a distant cousin to TV producer Bill Cotton, and the daughter-in-law to Ronnie Wood. Ronnie Wood is a British musician who was a member of the Rolling Stones. You may remember there, was it? Why are you looking confused?
The British Museum?
British musician.
He's as old as some of the things that you would see in a museum, you know.
British, okay, member of the Rolling Stones. You may remember their UK number ones, It's All Over Now, Little Red Rooster, and The Last Time. Can you remember his exes? In July 2008, Ronnie made headlines for leaving his wife for a 20-year-old model known as Katia Ivanova. There is absolutely nothing to talk about when it comes to Katia, other than she was a contestant on the 2010 edition of Celebrity Big Brother. Celebrity Big Brother is a spin-off of the TV show Big Brother, which in its early seasons used the phrase, Big Brother is watching you. Big Brother is watching you was a phrase heavily used in the book 1984 by George Orwell. It was published by Secker & Warburg, which is now known as the Harville Press. They supported George Orwell many times during his career, and their parent company is Penguin Books. There are many different types of penguins, the Gentoo penguin, Humboldt penguins, the Galapagos penguin. Probably the most famous penguin is the Emperor penguin. Emperor penguins are often the focal point in media, especially in documentaries. Many famous documentaries have been made, such as the ones made by David Attenborough. March of the Penguins, or perhaps the most famous documentary, was Happy Feet. That's a documentary.
Yeah, it is.
Happy Feet starred many different people, from Brittany Murphy, Robin Williams, and Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood is a Hollywood actor who played Frodo Baggins and was born in January.
Yay!
Jack Vincent, everybody. Thank you very much, Jack.
I realise that went on a little bit and I do apologise.
It's quite all right. I'll cut it down.
You literally can't because it goes from one point to another.
I've made a rod for my own back. Kerry, were you entertained by that?
I was very much entertained by that, particularly when he called Ronnie Wood a museum.
Well, that's good, because that means we have to keep the museum bit in now, and I can't edit that out.
Thanks, Soz, Kerry.
Jack. Soz.
Kerry, on to you then. What do you think links the first day of the year with the month of January?
Well, I've kind of switched this actual link round, so I start with January and end with the first day of the year. Soz.
For the listeners' benefit, I just did an indulgent shrug. It's fine.
Right. January is the first month of the Gregorian calendar, which was introduced in 1582 by Pope Gregory VIII. Gregory's Girl is a 1981 coming-of-age romantic comedy film which starred Claire Grogan. Claire Grogan was the lead singer for the band Altered Images, who had a hit called Happy Birthday in August 1981. On the 5th of August 1981, Ronald Reagan sacked striking air traffic controllers who had ignored his 11 a.m. deadline to return to work. Deadlines are the latest time or date by which something should be completed. In 2019, Greta Thunberg became Time magazine's Person of the Year. Her mum, Malena Ernan, represented Sweden at the 2009 Eurovision Song Contest in Moscow. The Kremlin is a fortified complex in Moscow. A government building in Leeds, called Quarry House, is affectionately known as the Kremlin for its imposing architecture. The Leeds band Kaiser Chiefs get their name from Leeds United defender Lucas Radebe's former team in South Africa. The town of Aberdeen lies on the Eastern Cape of South Africa. Aberdeen is Scotland's third most populated city. Hogmanay is traditionally celebrated in Scotland, which celebrates the last day of the year, with celebrations continuing into the first day of the year. Na-na.
Woo! Let's point out, I also fact-checked about Greta's mum. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
It was good you did that, because I was just trying too hard to listen to what people are saying to fact-check. So at the end of round one, the scores are as follows. Bringing up the rear on 9 points, Kerry Robinson, slightly ahead of her on 11. We have Emma Crossland, but storming out into the lead at a surely inassailable 25 points is Jack Vincent. All to play for as we storm into round two.
The Worthy Drama Round.
Yes, the second round is the Worthy Drama Round. No public service broadcaster worth its salt would spend a week without putting out a drama which not only thrills, but makes you think as well. Last week, I gave all my candidates a title and told them to go write a short radio play to be performed here and now. Unfortunately for them, all the play titles I gave are awful. Let's start with Kerry. Kerry, what's the title of your play?
It is Columbusing to America.
Let's take it away with Columbusing to America.
1492. Spain. The young King Ferdinand II of Aragon opens his eyes.
Good morning, Your Highness, and a very happy birthday.
Ah, yes, my 21st birthday.
Ferdinand gets out of bed, and the courtier lifts the chamber pot and guides the king towards it. The king begins his ablutions. Once finished, he looks down.
The royal penis is clean.
Ferdinand is sat with his friend Christopher Columbus. In front of them, the banqueting table is full of food, including a huge birthday cake.
Why so glum, Ferdy? It's your 21st birthday and you're going to be introduced to your wife, Isabella. Finally, you'll pop your cherry.
How can I get excited about a woman I haven't even seen? I'm so tired of living this privileged, opulent life. I want excitement, Chris. I want to go sailing like you. See all the wonders of the world. See the beauties you've told me about.
Well, you're king, mate. You're going to have to just get on with it. Enjoy your wine on tap and all this fancy gold furniture.
No! Come on, Chris. Can't you take me on a voyage?
You'd hate it. It's dirty. You only get ship's biscuits. And you got terrible seasickness when you stood by the sea.
Please, I beg you. I'll pay for everything. I'll pay for everything you want to do. I'll sort out the food and everything. I just want to meet a woman in the normal way. By invading a country.
Let me have a think about it. I'll get hung, drawn and quartered if anything were to happen to you on my watch.
King Ferdinand is in his quarters. He's staring at a jester trying to entertain him.
Dating is hard, isn't it? Don't you hate it when you want to marry your cousin but you need to get permission from the Pope? Am I right? Stop this now. Have him killed.
The jester is dragged away, kicking and screaming. Enter Christopher Columbus, looking excited.
Ferdy, my man, have I got news for you?
This better be good, otherwise you're following that jester.
I've been working out a way we can get you on a ship. I've been doing the maths, and I reckon we could do a shortcut to the East Indies. It means we can go, load up on spices, you know, saffron.
It's worth more than gold, pound for pound, everybody knows that. But that sounds good. How long do you think it'll take us?
3 weeks tops. That's based on my calculations of the circumference of the globe. My mate Toscanelli did a map of the globe, and if we sail west, we can get there quicker. You don't have to worry, you'll die by sailing east.
Ace? I might pretend when we get to the East Indies that I'm just one of the crew. That way, I'll know the girl will love me for me and not my crown and money.
Right, I'll go sort out my vessel. Be ready to sail in 3 days.
The voyage is in full swing. Ferdinand can be seen throwing up on the side of the boat. They've been sailing for 1 hour. 3 weeks later.
Look, Chris, I don't want to be a dick, but I think we've gone wrong.
It's probably just another hour or so.
2 months later, Ferdinand looks weak and ill. The crew are starving and Columbus is manic at the ship's wheel. 3 months later, most of the crew are dead. Ferdinand is eating one of the crewmate's legs. Columbus is now speaking in tongues. And then, on the horizon, a vision of land.
Land ahoy! Land ahoy!
1 whole day later, they finally reach land. A tropical island, palm trees, sandy beaches, and not a person in sight.
Ferdy, we're here. Oh, thank God.
They crawl to the sand, exhausted, hungry, and thirsty. After about half an hour of laying face down in the sand, Columbus looks around to survey the surroundings. He realises it looks nothing like India and starts to panic. Just then, a group of men and women, very beautiful women, come walking through the trees. They're carrying the carcasses of animals and carrying baskets of fruit.
Ferdy, you okay? I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't think we're in the East Indies.
Where the bloody hell are we?
I have absolutely no idea. This is an all-new world to me.
He gestures to the group.
But I think we're going to be okay.
He smiles at the audience and puts a thumbs up.
Living in America. I don't think we'll get the rights to that.
No, I didn't think we would either.
Well done!
Well done, Kerry. Fantastic work. Incredible acting from everybody. A few questions.
Yeah.
How much artistic license was involved there?
Quite a lot. I don't reckon anyone called Ferdy. And also he was happily married to his wife, Isabella. So, you know, that whole bit isn't real. But, you know, I felt like I needed to mash up coming to America as well as, you know, give some facts. So there was a lot of artistic license going on there.
Well, I mean, we've all seen The Crown. It's fine.
Well, like, exactly. Of course. I'm just sad that no one got to do like James Earl Jones's voice, you know, the king in Coming to America. That would have been amazing.
I don't think you're looking at the right group to do James Earl
no,
Jones's
that
voice.
No, that would be really bad, wouldn't it? As 4 white people.
Don't worry. We slammed on my play yet where we comment on race.
Oh boy, my new broadcaster is heading right for a scandal already. But before we do,
yeah.
Emma Crossland, what title did I give you for your play?
You gave me the wondrous title of Othello 11.
Othello 11, yes I did, because I am a horrible man.
The full title was Othello 11 or The More of Where Neil Armstrong Is.
Yeah, that was just because I worried that if I'd just called it Othello 11, you might just write a 10th sequel to Othello. So really wanted to underline.
Not some sort of Ocean's 11 Othello mashup, which was also potentially on the cards.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, God damn, that's good.
All I can really say to anyone who's a fan of the moon landings, anyone that's a fan of Othello, and anyone that's a fan of language, I'm really, really sorry. Really sorry.
And with those wise words, we go straight into Othello 11.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
It's one small step for man.
The year is 1969 and the world is gripped by moon fever.
One giant leap for mankind.
Three men, brave and true, set off to boldly go where no man, or indeed woman, has gone before. Their mission, a success. Their story told the world over. Upon return, 3 weeks were spent in quarantine to ensure no foul illness returned from the moon with them. But what happened during those 3 weeks hidden away from the world? Here we meet Neil Othello Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon. Buzz Cassio Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon. And Michael Iago Collins, the other one, you know, the bloke that stayed on the shuttle or something. Featuring genuine lines from real actual Shakespeare, occasionally used in the right way. Scene 1. Interior. Othello's quarters. There is a large window showing the night sky, including a large glowing full moon.
It gives me wonder great as my content to see you here before me. Oh, my soul's joy. Desdemona, sweet Desdemona, I never thought you'd fall for me. Such a beautiful lump of rock, orbiting the earth. Some say our love is folly. Do not believe that man and moon should be together. But you and I know, Desdemona, that our marriage, consummated when I penetrated your surface, is truly built to last.
Enter Cassio.
Mr. Armstrong, I trust I find you in good spirits.
Why, yes, Mr. Aldrin. But I've said before, do call me Othello. We are not brothers in moon landing now, after all.
Very well then, Othello. I must insist that you call me Cassio, as all my closest friends do.
Then I am honoured to be considered among them.
This quarantine, it does drive me to madness. I long for freedom and to return to our adventures. This very idea of a moon sickness is enough to drive one to distraction.
And yet, dear Cassio, I do suffer a moon sickness. I long for my sweet Desdemona, and I cannot contain myself until our next mission to see her.
Oh, Othello, you lovesick fool. Come, let us toast our success and plan our return so that I may continue my adventures and you may see your wife.
Scene 2. Interior, Iago's quarters. Similar to Othello's with the moon window, Iago's pacing. He spots the moon outside his window, shakes his fist at it and pulls down the blind.
It should have been me to land upon fair Desdemona alongside Othello, to bask in such glory as to walk upon her surface, to be remembered for all time as a hero instead of the one who held the fort. I was next in line for the promotion. I should have walked on the moon, not Aldrin, Cassio, Buzz, whatever he calls himself. Revenge! I'll have revenge! I'll plant the seeds of doubt inside Othello's head and let nature take its wicked course. That'll teach him for favouring Cassio.
Enter Othello.
All met by moonlight, proud Iago.
That's the wrong play. That's from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Is it? Oh, bugger. Anyway, Iago, you look troubled. What vexes you, sir?
Othello, our last mission, the moon landing, the visit to your beautiful bride.
What of it?
From my place of observation far above her surface, I fear I did see treachery when your back was turned. Cassio and Desdemona intertwined in a romantic clinch while you collected samples to bring home.
No, I cannot believe it of my beloved Desdemona. In Cassio, I trusted him to be my second in command, to walk upon her glorious face beside me.
I suggest you return to your quarters where you may chance upon their illicit liaison.
Othello leaves quickly.
My plan, it seems, is afoot. I wonder what mischief I will make.
Scene 3. Interior. Othello's quarters. Cassio is staring out of the window of the moon. Othello enters and observes him.
Hail to thee, lady, and the grace of heaven, before, behind thee, and on every hand, and wheel thee round. How I long for our next meeting.
You snake, To think I trusted thee.
Othello strikes Cassio, who falls to the floor.
Heaven stops the nose at it, and the moon winks. The bawdy wind that kisses all it meets is hushed within the hollow mine of earth. I will not hear what committed, impudent strumpet, for this I will end you.
Othello presses the big red button that has been just below the window this whole time. We see a rocket launch at the moon. Seconds later, it explodes in a massive fireball. Othello drops to his knees.
It is the very error of the moon. She comes more nearer earth than she was wont, and makes men mad.
Desdemona, your love, and ruler of tides. And if you believe the myth rather than the science, ruler of menstruation. What have you done? I had no romantic dalliance with her, merely friendly conversation. My only interest was in further adventure.
Oh, swear not by the moon, the fickle moon, the inconstant moon, that monthly changes in her circle orb.
That one's from Romeo and Juliet. Come on, Othello, get a grip. This has gone on way too long as it is.
Really? Romeo and Juliet? Oh, okay then.
He picks up a sharp piece of moon rock and speaks directly to it.
I'd kiss thee here. I'd kill thee. No way but this. Killing myself to die upon a kiss.
Othello stabs himself with the rock and dies.
A glooming peace this morning with it brings. The sun for sorrow will not show his head. Go hence to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned and some be punished, for never was a story of more woe than this of Neil Armstrong, Othello.
Enter Iago.
That's Romeo and Juliet too. You just changed the names at the end.
You're brilliant!
Magnificent, Emma. I hope you're not insulted to hear that I could definitely imagine hearing this play when I accidentally put Radio 4 on at 6:30.
I'm very insulted to hear that.
I gave you a brief and you smashed that brief out of the park.
I found it quite difficult. I mean, obviously, there's a few issues that I haven't addressed here, such as, you know, the big issue of race in Othello, the big issue of all the science in the moon landings. And then there's that issue of, reality. I've kind of missed the point of there too, but I feel that's very Radio 4, so
poor Othello.
I enjoyed it having never read Othello, so.
Well, I'll let you in on something here.
I don't think you have.
I've never read Othello either. When I was sent the brief, I had a little panic. I watched a very bad TV adaptation of Othello, and then I did a lot of Googling. Found some nice moon links, and then I had a drink, and then I woke up and it was there.
One play left in this section, and it's for our current point lead, Mr. Jack Vincent. Jack Vincent, what was the title of your play?
It is Wright Brothers at the Museum. Internal scene. It looks like a museum. That's my museum reference. So we are joined at a museum where our two main characters, who haven't met and are about to meet for the first time. They were separated at birth and didn't know about each other's existence. This is their first time meeting by accident. Think the 90s sitcom Sister Sister, except look at our cast, it's definitely more white.
Hey, you look like me.
No, you look like me.
You look like each other, speed it up. Emotional reunion can be included in the special features. We've got 2 minutes for this.
You must be my long lost brother.
Maybe. What's your name?
I'm Wilbur Will Wright, and I was born on the 16th of April, 1867, in Indiana, and my father was a bishop. I only spent 3 years in high school education. I worked as a printer, bicycle retailer. I died on the 30th of May, 1912, due to typhoid fever.
That's a weird way to introduce yourself to someone, to tell them that. Like, I didn't say, hey, I'm Orville, Orv Wright. I was born on the 19th of August, 1871, in Ohio. And died in Ohio on the 30th of January. Wait, how do I even know that?
Just go with it.
My father was called Milton Wright and was a bishop of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ and was the founder of the United Theological Seminary. He was born in 1828 and lived to be 88.
Oh, wow. My mum was a woman.
Wait, is that all we're going to say?
Women didn't have jobs back then. Hey, look. There's our sister Catherine, who was born on the 19th of August, 1874, and died on the 3rd of March, 1929. She was a teacher, so women obviously did have jobs, but she also helped with the women's suffrage efforts in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, there's our sister Catherine, who was married to Henry Joseph Haxall. I'm aware of that because you, Orv, also had a broken relationship later in life with Catherine. Hi, Catherine!
Hey up, lads, how's it going? I have an accent because the writers thought it'd be funny to see how Sam interprets this accent.
Oh, Catherine, we meet again.
Weren't we estranged?
Didn't you have an accent?
It comes and goes. See you, Arthel.
Look, why is it that this is supposed to be about us, but we haven't even mentioned why we're famous, but we know our sister was a suffragette?
That is because, ladies and gentlemen, it is 2020, and I can safely say that in the last 9 months, we as a society have learnt more about equal rights this year than we have spent on a plane. Oh, yeah, they invented a plane. Thanks. Top prize to the accent, by the way, because I don't even know what I was writing.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were going for myself. I started with one accent and then I realised, no, it couldn't possibly fit this as I went through.
Yeah, you started South Yorkshire, you end up East Yorkshire.
I bounced around Yorkshire, assuming that's what Jack wanted from me. And I found that personally quite insulting anyway, assuming that I couldn't do the accent from my own county that I come from.
I initially tried to write Swedish or Finnish, but...
I mean, I was going to try and write an iambic pentameter, but...
The more of the Neil Armstrong is, I learned that Neil Armstrong wants to do it with the moon. I'm not sure that is particularly verifiable if you go on Wikipedia. I learned a lot of things from Wright brothers at the museum. I learned a lot of things about both the Wright brothers and their sister Catherine. And frankly, I will walk away from this having known that Catherine was a suffragette.
And their dad.
Their dad wasn't a suffragette.
No, but you learned a lot about him. He was a bishop.
Yeah, but I didn't absorb that, did I? Clearly. Listen, don't talk yourself out of points, son. That's what they do on Radio 4. They call each other son in a slightly aggressive way.
You really want me to call you daddy because I'll go for it.
So at the end of that round, the scores are looking like this. Kerry Robinson still bringing up the rear on a respectable 34 points.
Loser.
Jack Vincent leapt ahead to 50 points with his game-breaking method of shoving fact into his plays. While in the lead on 51 points, it's Emma, Shakespeare's sister, Crossland.
Whoa.
It's time for this week's attempt at a third round. Well, after all that, we still haven't filled the position, so our candidates have to come crashing into round three. Round three is the legally required quickfire round, in which I'll be testing the candidate's suitability for the role with a series of outrageously simple questions, some of which might still fit in with the episode's theme. Firsts. It was firsts. Stand ready then, candidates, and we will start. It says here, reassure candidates that we'll edit out any long silences. Right, first things first. Jack Vincent, why do we do first things first?
Because the first... What?
That'll do. Emma, what colour is red?
The colour of anger.
I'll accept that. Kerry, where were you on the 1st of April this year?
Probably crying in my kitchen, drinking bleach, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Is there actually a right or wrong answer to this? Because I'm confused now.
No, obviously there's no right or wrong answers.
All right, okay.
Just... Yeah.
Yeah. Back to you, Jack. What would you do if you found an employee sneaking off to write a podcast script on company time?
Depends. If I'm going to be on the podcast, turn a blind eye. If I'm not, written warning.
A solid and believable answer. I'm sure you are quite the monster as a boss. Emma Crossland, what's your first memory?
I can't remember.
I mean, I can't not give entertainment points for that, can I? Kerry Robinson, what is the number one animal and why?
It's a sloth. Because it is slow, innit?
Yeah, it is slow. It is. You're quite right. Jack, what's that feeling called that's like hunger but for drinks?
The thirsty?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Question his own knowledge.
Just a really, really easy question I thought I'd give you. Just a, you know.
Thirsty.
Just lowball you. And that's what happened. Emma, how many books have you got?
Oh, loads.
I want a number.
Probably about 200, but maybe more.
Kerry, how many books have you got?
Well, after moving house this year, too fucking many.
Too many. Jack, books.
There are things. Are you asking me the same question or are you just saying...
Yeah, how many books have you got?
74.
74, okay. I mean, I really don't know what I'm doing with this round, but I thought I'd just throw some ideas at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I like it.
Kerry, do you remember the first time?
Yes, I do. It was terrifying.
Sorry, do you remember the first time you got in a car? Sorry.
Yes, I do. It was terrifying.
Correct. Jack Vincent, if you were offered this job, which awful skeleton in your closet would make the tabloid media hate you first?
Okay, you're gonna have to edit this bit out, but my first answer was going to be... And I don't know why! My love for dark humour is the skeleton I don't want to risk. Yeah, that's my answer. Dark humour.
Dark humour. Are you sure you want to give that answer, bearing in mind I'm going to edit out the dark humour that you don't want me to put in?
Yeah, because then no one will know what I said.
All right, tell you what, I'll bleep out what you said, but make it quite clear that you said... Good stuff. We've reached the end of the round then, so it's a question for everyone. Do you have any questions for me? It is a job interview. We've reached the end.
Is there much progression within your organisation?
I fully expect you to be quite tired of the role by the end of tonight and to retire in time for me to record the next podcast on Sunday.
How many sick days can I get away with taking before I'm dismissed? And that does include like any warning stages as well. I'm prepared to go that far.
Our company sick policy is very generous. I certainly have been hung over at my own desk pretty much ever since I started it on Tuesday. So if you carry on in that vein, I think we'll get along fabulously.
Will I get an advent calendar? Because that's what my other bosses used to do.
As a public service broadcaster, we can't be seen to favour any one religion over any others. So we will just give you a big slab of dairy milk to divide out as you see fit.
Okay.
Good. Well, thank you, everybody. I don't know how to hand out points for that round. It was just silly, wasn't it? Right. Well, that is the end of our interviews and our show. Doubtless, though, you'll be joining our candidates on the edge of their seats as we find out who gets to take over my new broadcaster and who gets to take their CV and shove it. And I can reveal that with a total of 56 points, our winner is Emma Crossland.
Yay!
Congratulations, Emma. Any words of wisdom to share as you shape the future of culture forever?
Oh my God, it's like my dream job. I can't wait to get involved and take advantage of the stationery cupboard and take long lunches and bully underlings, valued members of staff. It's everything I've always wanted. You know, I'd like to thank my mum and my dad and the baby Jesus, and my cat. Yeah, I might cry.
Just out of interest, I currently don't work, so I'll take any position going. It's fine.
I don't want your job anyway. You can shove it.
Emma, anything to plug? Where can we find you on the internet?
I am Captain Twitchy on Twitter when I can be bothered to use it. Otherwise, you can find me laying face down on my own bed quite a lot at the moment. Or in the after times, please let there be after times. You might find me lurking around a local comedy night or two, if they'll have me.
Jack and Kerry, thank you very much for applying. I'm very sorry we don't have a role to offer you today, but please do call our HR department tomorrow and they'll give you some useless feedback composed of entirely meaningless platitudes. Anything that either of you two would like to plug, though?
Ladies first.
Thank you. Me. So I am Kegster12002 on Facebook and Twitter, and hopefully I'll be on stages when things get back to normal. Not sure when that's going to be. I might be dead before that happens. Who knows?
Oof. Yes, you can find me at I Am Jack V, nice and simple. That's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the usual hangouts. I also do run my own comedy club, which is at Jacko Clubs Comedy. We are putting nights on where these lovely faces shall be appearing all across West Yorkshire. And that's on Facebook and Instagram. And then also I am one of the Nice Guys Comedy Podcast, which is at NGOC Pod. And that is on Twitter and Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, all the usual hangouts. Or just roaming the streets of Huddersfield. Or I gotta work.
I love leaving spaces for Jack to fill. So all that's left is for me to say goodbye from Jack, Emma, Kerry, and of course our dead studio audience who didn't interact with anyone the whole time, but that's because they were dead. And hope you'll join us next week for a thoroughly Wreathian time.
That was Inform, Educate and Entertain, starring Sam Wilkinson with special guests Emma Crossan, Jack Vincent and Kerry Robinson. The chair script was written by Sam Wilkinson, the program was edited by Sam Wilkinson, and Sam Wilkinson paid for the Zoom account too! It was a fictional production company production for the IEE and the internet. Goodbye!